goodsuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the privilege to learn at your feet again today. And we ask that you visit us today. Let no one return back the same way. Grant everyone an encounter of a lifetime, both those who are joining live now and those who will listen to the recording, in the name of Jesus. Let it be, Father. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains Common Sense Guide to Building Wealth, and the series has remained Kingdom Mysteries and Miracles for Good Success. Last week, the topic we looked at, which was a big one, is Common Sense Guide to Divine Healing, Health, and Wholeness. There's been a lot of misconceptions when it comes to divine healing, health, and wholeness. And last week, we were able to look at many of the critical things about healing, health, and wholeness. I hope you have been blessed. And if you have not listened to that, please go to the website www.thegoodsuccess.com to listen to that. Praise the Lord. Common Sense Guide to Building Wealth. Let's read some scriptures. Genesis 41:33-36. It says, "Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5, that is 20%, of the produce of the land of Egypt, and in the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, we shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine." And Proverbs 24:3 says, "Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established." Deuteronomy 8:18 also says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." What is all this about wealth, about money, about having abundance, about having more than enough? The first thing I would like to mention today in the introduction is that wealth is built. Unlike many misconceptions and misunderstandings that, oh, you can just win a lottery of money and become wealthy. Anyway, you can have a lot of money, you can become rich and amass some wealth by winning a lottery or by just being favored, somebody just looked at you and gave you a lot of money. Yes, you can have money like that. But to really build wealth, what is required, they are all the things I'll be mentioning today. Wealth is built. That means there's a conscious effort to build. Just like a building, you don't just wake up one day and you see a building grow up. Of course, there's 3D printing now, but even the 3D printing, there is a plan. They will have planned it. They will have, you know, cleared the portion of land they want to build on and then execute the 3D printing. So even at that, you are still executing a plan. Wealth is something that is built. And for every building, wisdom, proven principles, and discipline are involved in its execution. It also means, you know, it's not a function of luck, but you need to have a clear-cut plan and take the required steps. It all starts from you having a dream that is greater than you. If you really want to build wealth, then you must know that there are principles that are involved. What are the avenues for building wealth? That's what we're going to be looking at first today. What are the avenues for building wealth? Number one, get a job. You can actually become wealthy, or at least okay, if you have a job. What is a job? A job is the avenue or the opportunity for you to leverage on someone else's success to make yourself comfortable and well-to-do. You are leveraging on what somebody else has achieved. Somebody has been able to build a business and you are helping the person run the business. Somebody is selling a product, you are helping the person sell a product. You are working for the person and the person is paying you maybe per hour, per week, or every 2 weeks or every month. But you are getting paid, you are receiving a reward for helping someone else. You are leveraging on the success of someone else. That is what a job is. Then number two, you can sell a product. For example, let's say you are making some edible products, you are cooking for people, Let's say you made a phone and you are selling it. You can build wealth by that. Through selling. You are selling a product. A product that solves a problem for somebody. So you can sell it. So when you sell a lot of those products and your profit, the profit that you amass from those sales can actually get you into the place of riches and wealth. Then number three, provide a service. Providing a product could mean, you know, selling a physical product. Of course, there are digital products also. Something that somebody will take from you and consume that it's already prepared. That's what the product is. But when it comes to a service, that means when somebody needs something, you are at their service. For example, maybe there's a plumbing issue in your house. You call a plumber and the plumber fixes whatever is wrong. He's not selling a product, so to say. He has just come to solve a problem for you. And you pay him as a result of that. So if you are providing a service for people or services for people, then people pay you in return. Providing a service is an opportunity, or it gives you the opportunity to let others transfer their wealth to you because of the problem you have solved for them. Then what is the fourth one? Through a business. People normally confuse selling a product or a service for business. No, I'm going to define business this way today. Business is strategically, logically, and intelligently planning a system that provides services or products, or even both of them, in exchange for money or other forms of reward. That means there's a strategy. There is a logic behind it. Everything is logically done and arranged. And then it's intelligently planned. Then it's a system. Without a system, there is no business. Without a system, that means the day you don't have your input in that business, it can't run. Then that's not a business. You are just selling a product or providing a service, or maybe just self-employed. So a business is when you have a strategy. The strategy is there. There's a system that works. Even the system runs you as the owner. You are following the same principles that you set down, though you are the owner of the business. So a business is different from just providing a service. A business can be providing a service. It can be selling a product. But this time around, the business has a kind of system around it, or set of systems that make things work, even if you are not there. So if you want to build wealth, these are the four avenues I can mention. Get a job, sell a product, provide a service, or a business. Then we're going to be looking at some intellectual or psychological ways to help you build your wealth. Number one, what is your goal? You need to have a goal. For example, you can say at the end of this month, I should be able to make $1 million in my account. That's a goal. A goal is just like a dream. It is cheap. Anybody can have a goal. Anybody can just wake up one day and say, I'll become a billionaire. That's why there's this adage that says that if wishes were horses, then even paupers will ride. That means anyone can have a wish. Anyone can have a goal. So you too, have a goal. By the end of the month, this is what I'm going to achieve. Then you now add a support to your goal. You begin to add other things to it. So now that I have the goal, what am I going to do to achieve the goal? But the first thing is to have the goal. Then the second point I'm going to mention today is that, what good and godly life do you desire? These are the psychological things behind building wealth. What is your goal? How much do you want to achieve? Then number two, what good and godly life do you desire? There is nothing wrong for you trying to picture the future you want. Like, okay, I want to be wealthy. I want to be okay. I want to be able to have a good car. I want to be able to have a good house. Yes, you can picture all this in your heart. So what are the things you desire? Because these are the emotional things that will help you keep moving even when you're tired. Then number three, what good cause do you want to support? For example, maybe you're already okay. You can eat, you can feed yourself, you're living in a good house. Now, there's something in management called the hierarchy of needs, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. In that hierarchy of needs, it just arranges some needs of life. The one at the base is physical needs. That's talking about eating, drinking, staying in house. That's where everybody on it normally starts from, except you grew up from a very wealthy home. But most people, especially people coming from a kind of background, they just want to be able to eat, have a house, and at least be comfortable. That's the basic. Now, when you graduate beyond that, you begin to talk about, you know, social needs. You begin to talk about following a course that is beyond you. For example, you now see somebody, because they have eaten, they don't eat, chop, finish. Now they are talking about climate changes. Oh no, we want our climate to be okay. If you are hungry, you won't be talking about the climate. So when you go beyond the level of just feeding yourself and becoming okay, then you're not talking about, okay, so what do we support? I need to build an hospital for my locality or my village. I need to build a school for them. You know, you begin to talk about all these things. So, but you can have these ideas ahead of time, even if you are still struggling to feed yourself. These are psychological things you can actually put in place. Then I'm going to jump ahead to the spiritual sense of things, which I'll dwell on a little before we talk about the common sense things, you know, as much as time permits us. Now, what are the spiritual things we should have in mind, spiritual backup that we should have in mind as Christians when you want to build wealth? Number one, understand that God is the one who gives you the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "For it is He," that is, it is God, "who gives," not just give. I checked several versions and they all repeated it. It is continuous present tense. He's the one who gives you the power to get wealth. That means because He gave you power yesterday, does not mean you won't desire the power again. Does not mean you won't need the power again. And guess what it says? There's a reason behind Him giving you the power to get wealth. He said that He may confirm His covenant that He made with your fathers. That's with Abraham, with Isaac, with your father, with Jesus Himself. Jesus died and resurrected so that the blessings of Abraham may be transferred to you. He said you are also a son of promise, just like Isaac was. What happened to Isaac? The wealth of Abraham was transferred to Isaac. Then Isaac also went ahead to build it again and transferred it to his own children. So for you and I, we must understand that God is the one who gives the power to get wealth. And how will you know this? If you're healthy, that's when you can talk about getting wealth. Anyone who is sick does not think about wealth again. You think about being okay. So if God has given you health and you're okay, you're agile and you have intelligence, an insane person who is on the street does not talk about wealth. In fact, people think for him. People are wishing that it will be okay. So if God has given you, you are sound intellectually, you are okay in your health, then God, you can now begin to talk about wealth. God is the one who gives the power to get wealth. Don't forget that. Then number two, we talk about the secret of God. For example, Job in the Bible, when he was going through his trial, when the enemy attacked him, he was saying when the secret of God was upon him, and he began to describe himself, that when he talks, everybody listens. And when he has finished talking, nobody talks again, because his word has concluded the whole matter. It's just like when there's a challenge and everybody is saying one thing, the other person is saying another thing. You say, oh, let's fix it this way, let's fix it that way. And somebody just comes and says one thing that silences everybody. And everybody just wants to work with them. Let me put it this way, in real life scenario. Now, let's say three people individually have a proposal for a project. And there's a company who wants to hire just one of them. And the first person talked, the second person talked, the third person talked, the fourth person, the seventh person. And you just came up and you finished talking. And even the other people who talked, they were clapping for you because they know that your ideas are more superior than their own ideas. That is what we are talking about. That is the kind of secret Job had. Job had so much wisdom that when he gave his own idea, even the opposition clapped for him. There was no other argument. His own voice silenced every other person. That can be an avenue for wealth. When you have so much wisdom and that every time they call you, there's always a solution. Now, whatever trade you belong to, whatever business you do, whatever job you have, if you have this secret, if you have these gifts that Job had, you can always be at the top. When they think about firing other people, in fact, they will think about promoting you because they don't even want you to have a second thought of leaving that company. That when you bring your own ideas, it's just the best one. It's just the perfect one. There's a way you can put a square pole in a round hole or a round hole in a square hole. You can still manage it. They don't fit each other perfectly, but you can manage it. But when you put a round peg in a round hole, there is no other complaint. There's not anybody wants to see. It is just perfect. That's what we are talking about. When God begins to give you divine secrets, He can give you access to wealth, excellence, that nobody can see anything against. And I pray that for everyone listening today, we all begin to walk in that level of intelligence in Jesus' name. That was what happened to Jesus. He was there. He talked. people came against him, in fact, to come and tempt him and put him into trouble. After he finished talking, they were confused. They sent some people to go and arrest him. When they heard what he was saying, they went back to those who sent them and said, "See, we have never heard anybody speak like him." They too were confused. So that is what we are talking about. The secret of God. God can give you a secret. For example, you can be in a place and just see an opportunity that nobody else sees. And you're like, "How come nobody is talking about this? It's normal to you. You have seen it." But when you ask the first person, they're like, "I never thought about that." You ask the second person, "I never thought about that." You ask the third person, they say, "What is that?" They don't even understand. And when you execute it, people are like, "How come I didn't see this all the while?" The secret of God. Now, the third spiritual thing I'm going to talk about today is that you should resist the attacks of the enemy. Job was down to almost nothing because of a direct attack of the devil. This time, it's not that the devil sent demons to attack him. The devil himself attacked Job directly. And in fact, he got permission from God to attack him. We as children of God must never be unaware of the devil's devices. When you see anything wrong happening to your finances, don't ever just take it casually. It could just be the enemy trying to attack. So be aware that the devil can keep someone poor for no reason, just because he's angry with the person. Now, number four thing I'm going to mention today is that be conscious of the blessing of the tithes, first fruits, offerings, and sacrifices. Be conscious of it. For example, the tithe, paying your tithes, guarantees that you have open heavens, access to divine ideas, divine opportunities. That is what tithe does for you. Now, in the book of Proverbs, talking about the first fruit, he said, because of your first fruit, because you have honored God with your substance and with your first fruit, he said, your vats will overflow with new wine. Your barns will be filled with plenty. That means it can guarantee access to the blessings of the Lord. Then number five spiritual thing I'm going to mention, which is the last thing I'm going to mention today, is stay in God's will. If you stay in God's will, there is a guarantee that God is going to bless you. God always finances his projects. So if you keep doing your own thing, then God will just keep doing his own thing. But if you are aligned with the will of God, then God can guarantee great opportunities to come your way. Now, what is the common sense guide to building wealth? Number one, don't just leave your job without a tested plan. Now, I know many people, especially when this motivational speaking came up and all that, maybe just start leaving their jobs. "Oh, let me just start a business. Let me jump out there, start a business, and I'll make a lot of money." And on paper, it's always good to start a business until you start it. It's always good to start a business until you see the realities of the things that happen in a business. So if you have a job that is paying your bills, I would advise, don't just jump away from that job and go to start your own thing because you feel you have the perfect plan on paper. It's not always like that when it comes to reality. So if you have a job, stay in that job. As much as possible, you can do something by the side. When you see that what you are doing by the side is really good and it has a lot of prospects, then you can jump in 100% into it. Now, with the exemption of divine instruction, there are times that the Holy Spirit can just instruct you divinely, leave your job. That's a different case. But we are talking about common sense now. Don't just jump away from your job because of a bird in the bush. There's an adage that says that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. There are two birds in the bush. Keep the one first. Keep it in the cage. Then go and look for the two. When you have the two and they are worth more than one, then you can let the one go and keep the two. So that's just number one, common sense guide. Then number two, now some people will wait for the perfect job forever. Somebody will say, "How much are they even paying me? They're only paying me 50K or 30K in this job. So I'm just going, I'm just leaving, I'm just getting away from this job." No, the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it well. Whatever you have at the moment, do it. God always blesses little, but I don't see where God blesses nothing. Every time somebody says he has nothing, God tells them to check again. And they eventually find that they have something. That job you are complaining about could just be the beginning, could just be a test for you actually. You know, the parable of the talents. Jesus said, they gave one person 5 talents to go and trade with it. He traded and got 5 in return. Gave another person, he traded and got 3 in return. Now, they gave another person 1. And guess what? He was angry and buried it. Don't bury the job you have. Don't bury the opportunity you have at the moment. Keep it. Do it with all your heart. One of the gifts that somebody important to me gave me in life when I was very young is one of the people that really helped me to stay in the faith when I was growing up. He told me one thing, and he said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it well. Now, how did he tell me that? We were in the farm then. You know, I'm not really cut out for, you know, this manual work and all that. So every time, especially when I was in school then, the kind of school I went to, you may be given some field work to do, cut some grass and all that. Or maybe if I have the opportunity to go to farm, like, you know, once in a while. You know, I always find it difficult to do what others are doing. Like, somebody in 5 minutes may have done, like, maybe 10 meters. I may still be in 2 meters. Now, I was not trying to compete with those people and do it fast. Now, he told me something. He said, no. He said, if it's only 2 meters you can walk on, make sure you do it perfectly. And that thing has stuck to my head. Please, whatever your hand finds to do, do it well. Now, somebody will say, the job I have, they are not paying me well, so let me just do it anyhow and leave. No, do it as if they are paying you a million. Somebody, maybe even in ministry, somebody will say, how many people am I even talking to? It's just one person, so let me just do it anyhow. When I have 100 people, no. The people that are talking to millions of people today, when they were talking to 10 people, they were talking probably even with more energy than they are doing now. So whatever your hand finds to do, do it best. In fact, one of the things that helped me is that if I don't do it well, I see it as a sin to God. So that forces me to do everything well. If I want to wash plates, I will wash it perfectly. It has to be clean. If I want to write, it has to be perfect. If I want to talk, it has to be perfect. If you have that attitude, you are very close to building wealth. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it well. Now, we are talking about the beginning days. Now, you are doing business and all you have are just 2 clients, and you are treating the 2 clients anyhow. There is no guarantee that you're going to have a lot of clients in the future. But the little ones you have, treat them perfectly. Do their job perfectly. For me, as rule, whether you are paying 100 for what I'm doing or you are paying 1,000, it doesn't matter. I will still do it well. The same quality. It doesn't matter what you are paying me. I'm still going to do and give it my best. Now, one thing I want to say is this. Make sure you always give people the highest quality possible. You may not give them the highest quantity, but give them the highest quality. Everybody is after quality. Now, for example, if you are paying a little money, you know you won't get what big money we get, but you want to get as much quality as possible. So use that understanding that whatever you offer people, whatever you do, give it the best shot you have. And I pray as we do this, God will surely reward us in Jesus' name. There's a scripture. Jesus said, whoever is faithful in little is also faithful in much. Go and read that scripture very well. It doesn't say may be faithful or will be faithful. No. It says he's already regarded as being faithful in a lot. If you are faithful in little, God sees you as being faithful in a lot. That's why when that person was faithful in 5 talents, he gave him 5 solid cities. Can you imagine? 5 cities instead of just 5 talents. He didn't give him much money. He gave him bigger responsibilities. Now, if you have 5 cities, are you going to be talking about 5 talents? No. The promotion cannot even be compared with each other. So that's how God promotes, and that's how promotion happens in the kingdom of God. God promotes you when he checks you with how you've been faithful in little. Now, what is the other thing we are mentioning today? We have mentioned, don't just leave your job without a tested plan. I'm talking about common sense things now. Then, whatever your hand finds to do, do it well. Get busy. Don't just say because you are looking for an oil company job, now you have a teaching job, you can't do it. No, it doesn't work that way. Start with something. Don't ever be without a job. Always be busy doing something productive. Now, number 3, trade your gifts, your time, or your skill. That's another way for building wealth. Your gift, the gift you have, if you will polish it enough, if you will sharpen it enough, it is a guarantee for blessings in life. Who cannot sing it? There is nobody who cannot sing it. We can only sing better than each other. It's only when we compare that we can say, oh, this person sings better. Everybody sings. Of course, I know there's, you know, you ask somebody to sing treble, he sings terrible. You ask somebody to sing alto, he sings something else. Fine. But everybody can still sing in the long run. One thing I always see, and I tell my wife is this. I said, it's not good talents that make money in music. It's good confidence. Most of the people you know, especially the secular song singers, How many of them do you know who really have a good voice? When you are talking about good voice, many of them don't even have good voice. Many of them don't have good content. Now, let's say they don't have good voice and they have good content. It's okay. But now, they don't have good voice, they don't have good content, but they are still making the money. Why? They have confidence. They are just trading it. Somebody else has the gift. He's only singing in the bedroom. Somebody else has the gift. He's ashamed of singing. He doesn't even want to use the gift anyway. He is waiting until they pay him to use the gift. But trade your gift with confidence. It is one of the ways for building wealth. Your gifts. The gifts you have, the Bible says, the gifts of a man makes room for him. It creates opportunities for him. How God blesses me now, it's not even what I studied in school. It's so different from it. It's my gift, raw gift at work. That's what's happening to me. Your gift has a guarantee to give you a future. God put it there for a reason. In fact, do you know that your gift came to you before you were born again? How many of us now became maybe artists because you became born again? Or you can now sing because you became born again. Many of us have been singing before you were born again. Many of us have been doing all these things before you were even born again. So, your gift was given to you before you were even born. It was planned for you. And no matter the calling you have in your life, your gift will still be at work. So, your gift, trade your gift. Then, trade your time. Another way for building wealth is to trade your time. That is exactly what a job is. You are trading your time for something. Your time should be important to you. Some of us don't check our time. We just work. We are just busy. No. Even if you are being paid at the end of the month, check what the value of your hour is. The least you should check is an hour. And that's what they do in the Western world. Maybe that's why they are more effective. Check your hour. What is an hour worth to you? And make sure you increase the value of your hour by the day, by training, by experience, by learning from other people. Trade your time. Then I think where we're going to stop today, we still have a lot, so we're going to split this into two. We'll still be talking about favor, miracles, about more common sense. A lot of things that we're still going to be mentioning. I don't want us to rush it, so we'll continue next week. But lastly today, we're going to be talking about trade your skill. What is your skill? Your skill may not even be related to your job. For example, you have gone to school to study something. It's your skill. It's not wasted. Your skill could be the fact that you can use Microsoft Word more than other people. In fact, do you know something? Do you know the problem that most of us have? We always look at the high-end skills and forgetting the low-end skills. There are people that is just the skill of writing and they are making lots of money from just writing. Some people, because they can type well, they are virtual assistants to people. They don't even go anywhere. They are working online and they are typing for people. So, your skill, the things you have learned over time, God can use it to bless you. Don't let them become wasted. All these things are important. So, today we have mentioned that we are talking about common sense now. Things that naturally, they are supposed to just be common sense. But somehow, maybe because we've heard some people or we've made some mistake, we just begin to take all these steps. So, don't just leave your job without a tested plan ahead of you, except of course you have a divine instruction. Then whatever your hand finds to do, do it well. Get busy. Don't say because you are looking for the high paying job you won't take the low paying job. Start somewhere. Then trade your gifts, trade your time and your skill. That will be the end of today. So next we'll be talking about how you can leverage relationships, how favor can be at work for you, talking about productivity, talking about leveraging technology and many more. So please don't miss it next week also and invite someone. So as we end today, do we have any question at all?
Hello, sir. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, bro.
Yes, I wanted to ask about wealth in itself. That what's the real definition or the real meaning of when someone is wealthy? That is it just only when someone has a particular amount of money or one is fulfilling purpose or so, like when someone is wealthy? Because what I know to be wealthy is maybe when someone has a huge amount of money that you can do whatever you want to do at your own will. Maybe you can help me throw more light on that. So when one is pursuing, I want to be wealthy, then that can actually guide the person. It will not be as if one is using someone's another person's time to run. or if you're pursuing something like beating the air.
Okay, so I think, thank you. I think it depends on the approach you want to look at it from. But let's look at it from, you know, normal intellectual sense. Let me just check the dictionary. It says, okay, I think there's a website there, Bogart Wealth. It says, a wealthy person typically has significant net worth, while a rich person could have a high annual income but a negative net worth because of debt. Now, many of the people we call rich in the world, they are just rich, not really wealthy. Because the same way they have a lot of money, they also have a lot of debt. They are servicing a lot of debt. You can't even imagine how much indebted they are. But I think a person is wealthy is somebody who is really, really wealthy. And in another way, not only with money, is wealthy in other resources too. Like, I think normal Google Dictionary defines is that somebody who has a great deal of money, resources, or assets. So a wealthy person is also rich. But a rich person may not be wealthy. A wealthy person does not have too much of liabilities. He has more of assets. And not so much problem is worrying about debt and all that. Many of the people with courage, like I mentioned before, they just have a lot of money when it comes to money, high volumes of money. But the other problems in their lives probably outweigh even the money they have. For example, somebody has a lot of money and he has a kind of health challenge and he cannot even predict what's going to happen to him in the shortest future. Or maybe the kind of business he runs may just crash any day. So you can't really call that person a wealthy person. Now, from the kingdom perspective, I would say a wealthy person is someone who has a lot of the resources of God in his care. That's the kingdom perspective. No matter what you have in the kingdom, it doesn't belong to you. You have everything. That is why the tithing, just like Mike Murdock says that, don't say you are paying your tithe. You are not actually paying your tithe. You are acknowledging God that he owns everything, because he owns everything. You are not paying your debt, so to say. You are paying your tithe, but you are not paying your debt. You are paying 10% out of everything you owe him. You owe him everything. So, in the kingdom of God, a wealthy person will be somebody who is wealthy, not only in money, is wealthy in good works. That's what the Bible says. It said, those who are rich, warn them not to just be wealthy in this world's riches, but that they should be rich in good works. That means a wealthy person is wealthy in good works, is wealthy in money, is wealthy in resources, is wealthy in people. He has a lot of people that he's a blessing to. I think that's a wealthy person. I hope that helps a little.
I also want to ask the question, sir. What is the difference between calling and gifts?
Calling and gifts. Okay. So let me just quickly jump to that too. Okay, so from the word, a calling means that you have been called. You have been asked to come out to do something, in quotes. Now, a gift is what I would call natural endowments, meaning that there are things that you can naturally do, things that are easy for you to do that are difficult for others to do in the natural sense of things. And it could also be in the spiritual too. For example, your gifting in the natural sense could be that you can sing. When it comes to singing, you don't even need a training. I'm talking about those people. There are some people that they naturally sing very good. They have a very good voice. They can sing very well. They don't even need to do any training. They are just singing. Now, other people will struggle to sing. Other people, as they are singing a particular pitch like this, their voice will just be lost, maybe for like 3 days. And some other people, they'll just sing it naturally. They don't even need warm water. They don't need honey. They don't need anything. They are just singing. That's like a gift. Or maybe artistic skills. For example, me now, I have artistic skills. I can paint, I can do portrait. I just naturally have the eye for design. I can design and do it for the whole day and not even get tired. Someone else, call him to come and draw something. Like we say in my place, that he cannot use bottle to draw circle. That you give him bottle. Now draw a circle around, just draw around that bottle to form a perfect circle. That circle will still look like a square. It doesn't have a gift in that line. Spiritual gifts are also like that. For example, teaching. Even if I don't prepare for this teaching now, just wake me at night, come and teach. I don't need to prepare. I will talk. And you may not know the difference. That's a gift, spiritually. Some other people too, spiritually. That's why, in spiritual sense of things, Don't ever depend on your gift. Some people have the gift of prophecy. Some people can just see things. They don't even need to pray. As they are seeing you, they are telling you your problem. They are telling you the solution. That doesn't mean they are spiritual. It's just the gift at work. Now, when it comes to calling, it means that God is telling you and send you in a specific aspect of life. For example, God can call you to become a pastor. You may not even have the gift of teaching when he called you. That gift will naturally start working because he has called you. The same thing, there's what they call the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet. If you are called to be in the office of a prophet, for example, as you are called into that office, the gift of prophecy will follow you. The gift of teaching can also follow at the same time. That is it. So, your calling is that God has told you to go in a particular direction, despite the fact that you can go in many directions. So, that's the difference between a gift and a calling. For every calling, gifts will follow. The gifts are needed for that aspect to follow. But for gifts, you can just have gifts and be using it, and may not have a calling even in the direction of that gift. I hope that helps a little. So thank you so much, everyone. I think we'll call it a day today. Yes, but before we go, I have a prayer that was impressed upon my heart to pray for everyone today, and it will be Psalm 20. And I will declare it. If you can also unmute a mic to say amen, that would be cool. So, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart desire and fulfill all your purpose. May you rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of the God, may you set up your banners. And may the Lord fulfill all your petitions in the name of Jesus. May he do this so that you will know that the Lord saves his anointed. And let him answer you from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some may trust in chariots and some in horses, but I pray that you will always remember the name of the Lord your God. They are bowed down and fallen, but you will rise up and stand upright in the name of Jesus. God bless you and have a great week. And may the Lord answer you when you call. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a great week and be blessed in Jesus' name. See you next week. Invite others. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining, and God bless you. Amen.
A good success.com.